Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. That is how we deal with the word of God. The song says, I believe today my life will never be the same again. As African people, that is our attitude. Every time a preacher is about to take a pulpit or a podium, our heart says, my life will never be the same again. From all the religions and from all the things that people trust in the world, when it comes to the word of God, we are practical people. Hallelujah. We are people that really want to see what the word of God says, that it is able to happen. We are not people that really love theory when it comes to spiritual matters. I understand that we are different from you people. Hallelujah. You are people of intelligence. You are people of systems. We are spiritual people. We connect to things that are spiritual very easy. Hallelujah. Amen. Forgive me, I'll always say hallelujah. I'll always say amen. Amen. So that is the kind of people we are. That is how we respond. And we have seen a lot of things from the spiritual world. Maybe some of you have seen them, but some of you have not seen them. For us to be a Christian, it is a big deal, because you have to neglect things that you grew up believing, things that you know and understand how powerful they are, things that have shaped your life, things that have, from your childhood, you are being shaped to worship in a certain way, to believe in certain things. So when somebody comes to you and preaches about Jesus, that is Lord, the Son of God, this and that, you tell them, is this Jesus of yours strong enough, powerful enough to protect me? Is this Jesus of yours strong enough to protect me when I neglect and reject my own religion from home, my own beliefs from home? Is this Jesus going to be enough for me? Hallelujah. It is how we look at things. It is how we see things. Amen. Once more, thank you so much for sending Pastor Mike to us in Africa. As he has already said, my pastor has already said, he is the man of God that is in our midst and that is doing a wonderful job. He has transformed a lot of churches because he has changed the minds of the preachers, the people that stand before people and begin to teach them. When you change somebody that teaches other people, you have affected them indirectly. Amen? I am not bringing any special message from Africa, any secret, anything that is not normal. I'm only here to remind you of the things that you know, of the things that you've already read in the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm not bringing anything new, anything special. Are we okay? Can I have an amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So I want you to relax. I'm not going to bring anything very drastic, very special from Africa, under the stones and all of that. No, I'm just bringing to you a simple word of God that you read every day. But I'm only here to remind you some of the very important things that we have to continue to look into our lives and continue to monitor for us to be the qualified servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. All I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about servanthood. I understand that our pronunciation is not the same because he's always saying, what? I understand that some of the things that I say, it's difficult for him to understand me. Hallelujah. But I want us to talk about servanthood this morning. Hallelujah. Which is a condition of being a servant. When we speak of servanthood, we speak a condition, an atmosphere, an attitude that says, I am ready to serve. That says, I am ready to do what I have been called to do as a servant in whatever area of life. Hallelujah. A servant is a person in the service of another. It is somebody that says, I am here to serve you. I am here to do whatever you want me to do. When you are a servant, you don't do what you wish to do. You do what your master has instructed you to do. Amen. You don't do your own desires. You don't do things the way you want. If I am your servant as a church to come and clean and do everything here for you before you come, I am not going to do it in a way that makes me comfortable. I will do it in the way that you are expecting me to do. I might not sweep under the chairs, but if you, as my masters, you want me to say to swipe under the floors, I have to do that. Amen. So a servant, it is someone that does not do what they wish to do, but are people that they do what their masters expect of them to do or have instructed them to do. Hallelujah. When we read the Bible, hallelujah, I have read the Bible so many times, and there's a consistent thing that I see in the Bible. God is in the business of making servants. He transforms those who are not servants and make sure that they become servants. Hallelujah. You can be a servant before you are positioned and be a servant, and be a servant after you have been positioned. Meaning that being a servant, it is not something that has an expiry date. Today I am the worker, I will be a servant and work well. Tomorrow I am promoted into being a manager, I stop being a servant. You continue to be a servant, even if you are given a position, even if you are given a role to play that you were not given before. Amen. So, servant would grows with you. You don't say, today I am a pastor, therefore I am not a servant anymore. These people have come to serve me. We are all servants before God. Hallelujah. Therefore, in all that we do, in whatever that we do, we need to have an attitude of a servant. You are not only a servant while there is somebody above you. Even if you are above everyone in the company, maybe you are the CEO of the company, according to God's standard, you are still required to serve the cleaner that cleans your office. You might be a manager. According to God's standard, you are required to serve your secretary. I understand that from our human perspective, from our human understanding, it is not something that we really desire to always serve people that are beneath us, if I may use that term. Amen. So it is very crucial for us to understand that God is looking for servants. Hallelujah. The heart of servanthood is a platform of empowerment and enthronement. If you want to be powerful, if you want to be taken and put in a pedestal, your way to go there, it is to begin to take an attitude, the heart of servanthood. It is for you to adopt a different position, a position of servanthood. It is how God promotes people. It is how God deals with us as people. He does not promote the proud. He looks at the proud and never gives them anything, because they think all that they have, it is because of their own ability. As a servant, you go before God and say, I am not doing this because I am able to do it. I am doing it because of your grace. The difference between Pastor Mike and me, between me and you that you are sitting there, it is nothing else but the grace of God. So whatever you have, I do not have. Whatever gifting you have, that I do not have. The difference between us, it is the grace of God. When you understand that, you will begin to understand why God desires us to be servants. Servants to Him and servants to each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are not prepared to serve, you will never be opportuned to rule. If you are not prepared to serve, you will never be opportuned to rule. If, according to God's standard, if you are somebody that is not willing to serve, God will keep all the promotions for you. He will lock every door of promotion. He will lock every door of blessing, because it is how God does things. Everybody, there is no one that desires somebody to work with him who does not have a heart of a servant. You are a manager at work. You are a teacher at school. You are a doctor. All the people that you work with them, you require them to serve you to a certain level, so that you can be able to do your function properly and well. The person that is supposed to do a certain thing towards you and does not do it, he confuses the roles. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we read the word of God from the book of Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 4? Amen. Hallelujah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Hallelujah. This is a portion of scripture that speaks about Jesus. You can find the same scripture being confirmed in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 17. Hallelujah. Because of time, I'm not going to go to all that detail. But I just want to speak about what the verse says. Behold my servant. This is God speaking about Christ, about the roles and the duties, about what Christ would come and do. Hallelujah. But there is this one word that for me, it is very exciting. He is saying, behold, look at my servant. Observe. Look at this servant that I am bringing you. Hallelujah. He's saying, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. Look at this servant that I have chosen. Look at this servant that I have trusted as God, that he is going to do whatever I require of him to do. These are the things that this servant that I am bringing to you will do. Hallelujah. Amen. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God is saying, in simple ways, he has the same spirit that I have in him. He has the same desires that I have in him. How I look at things, how I see things as God, Christ will have the same attitude. I am bringing him to you as a servant. God is calling Christ a servant. And we know, according to our doctrine of the Trinity, that they are one person. But at this stage, he is speaking of Christ as a servant. He is speaking of him as somebody that has been given a responsibility and a duty to go and fulfill. Amen. Hallelujah. It mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. I have given him the responsibility to go and teach the good news. I have given him the responsibility to go and open the minds of the people. When he is opening the minds of the people through the word that he will be teaching the people, by doing so, he will be judging for them between what is right and between what is wrong. Hallelujah. When you have nobody to teach you the word, you stay in the same position of not knowing what is right and what is wrong. But when somebody comes and begins to teach you the word, open your mind between what you are doing and what other people are doing, and between what God is expecting you to do and what people are expecting you to do. It is how he begins to judge what is right and what is wrong for us as individuals. By teaching the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. Hallelujah. This is Christ. God is saying, my servant will go through tribulations. He will go through hard times. I have pre-planned hard times for him. I have pre-planned tribulations for him. But I know in all the tribulations, he shall not cry. I know in all the tribulations, he shall continue to trust me as his master. He shall continue to trust me as his God. Hallelujah. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He will not boast about what I have given him. They will persecute him. But the power, the grace, the glory, the anointing that I have given unto him, me as God, that I have entrusted unto him, he will not misuse it in any way. Even if an opportunity would come for him to misuse the grace, the glory, the anointing that I have given him, because he is a good servant, he will not misuse that. The people that were taking Christ to the cross, he could have said one word and they could have been all destroyed. But because he had a mission to accomplish, to die for me and you, he did not do that. He had a mission to accomplish, to make sure me and you, we are bought by the price. Hallelujah. Because he was what? He was a good servant. He was a man that was entrusted by God. Although he had all the opportunities to use what he was given, the authority that was available to him, the power that was available to him, he did not misuse it. He continued to remember that I am the servant. I am taking care of my father's duties. I am taking care of my father's job. This is what my God requires. This is what my father requires, that I may go through and be crucified. He served, although his heart was painful, although sometimes he could not be able to do certain things that he wanted to do as Christ, he always remembered that I am a servant. There was a time in the garden of Gethsemane where he cried. Where he cried in tears and he said, God, this is too much. Let this, hallelujah, let your will be done, not my will. Because he came to a point of feeling that I'm being tempted to use my own abilities here. I'm being tempted to use my own power. But he began to pray and say, Father, not my will, but your will, let it be done. In many times, we also, as the servants of God, we also, as the children of God, God has invested much in us as his own children. How many times do we get tempted to use it for our own benefit? How many times do we get tempted to use it for our own luxury, own doing, just to have fun, because I have the power, I have the authority to do this? You must understand, in every area, in every position that God has given you, you have a role to serve. As a husband, you have a role to serve your wife according to the word of God. As a teacher at school, you have a responsibility to serve the children that you're teaching to as according to the will of God. As a judge, as a doctor, in any profession that you are part of, today, remember this, you are a servant. You have been entrusted by authority. You have been entrusted by power. Do not misuse it. Do not use it for your own benefit. Do not use it for your own doing. But remember always that I have a master that I am serving. Amen. One time where God gave a position to somebody who has never gone through enough experience of serving, he regretted it. God took Saul directly from whatever he was doing and put him straight in front of the people and say, you are going to be a king from today going onwards. This is what the people have chosen. They want you to be a king. Because he has never really understood servanthood. He messed up everything that God has given unto him. He could not follow simple instructions. I sent you there, kill everything. Kill cows, kill people, kill children, kill everything. Come back and make sure everything is dead. When he was there, he began to look and say, yeah, these calves and these cows and this goat, they are a little bit good. They are fat enough for me to use, so let's take them aside. We can kill everything else, but please, let us not kill this and that. He forgot an instruction. He forgot that he was a servant. He was not there to make his own decision. He was there to keep doing what God has asked him to do. Amen. Hallelujah. When we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Amen. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let us have the same attitude that Christ had in himself. He was God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was in the same position as God. Let's the following verse, please. Verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Hallelujah. He did not abuse, hallelujah, his equality with God. How many times have you misused your position? How many times have you misused who you are? How many times have you misused your title? How many times have you threatened people? Do you know who am I? I am so and so. If I do this and that, you will lose your job. If I do this and that, you will lose your what. How many times have you used that phrase? Amen. He's saying there, although he existed but emptied himself, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. A bond servant is a slave. It is not an ordinary servant. It is a servant that does not get paid. It is a servant that has been bought from somewhere. Amen. I want you to understand that although Christ had all the ability, although he had all the power, he had all the backing from God to do whatever he wanted to do, but he said, I will choose to do the plan of God. I will not do what I want to do. Hallelujah. Every time you require promotion from God, you need to become a servant. Listen to me. To serve, it is not easy. To serve, you have to go against every wish and every desire you have. I'm here with my pastor today, Kolisile. He is my leader in the church. He tells me to do things that if I was just myself, I wouldn't. You see, when he gives me instructions, when he tells me go and do this, go and do that, if my attitude is to say, anyway, you are the same age, then how can he instruct me to do that? I would miss out from God's blessings. I will be missing the mark of my calling. Part of my calling, it is to serve him. Part of my calling, it is for him when he calls me at 12 meters and says, Mfundisi, there's something wrong in the church. Can you go and talk and look at what is happening? There's great winds. We are having our services in the tent. It is for me to wake up when he says, there's great winds that are blowing outside. Can you please go how the tent is? It is part of my calling. I may be a pastor, I may be whatever that I am, but my portion also, it is to continue to serve him in the church. It is to continue for me to be there. Hallelujah. God promotes those people who do what? Who serve other people. He has not done the jambi-jambi thing. He has not manipulated how he does things. When you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, he speaks of Joshua as the servant of Moses. And God, when he wants to replace you, he will not replace you with someone that is far away. He will replace you with somebody that has been able to serve you. He will replace you with somebody that has been able to learn your heartbeat, to learn how you do things, to learn how you behave in certain circumstances. When God wanted somebody to take over from Moses, he did not look anywhere. He looked around his servants. I wonder if your boss wanted to promote someone, when he's looking at his circle of people that are around him, are you part of the people that he would say, I can choose this one? Because he has a heart of a servant. I can choose this one because he has an attitude of a servant. This is the person that I can entrust with anything. He will not do whatever he desires to do, but he will do as I've instructed him to do. What kind of a person are you? What attitude do you have in your heart? Listen to me. There's so many ways of serving people. I'll give you two. There's a way that when you serve, we look at you and we say, so-and-so is a servant. On your outward appearance, we see what? A servant. But from inside your heart, you are mumbling and growling and doing everything. You are kicking and screaming to get out of that position or of that particular time that you are given to serve. It is good to please people and say, I am a servant. But the question is this: are you really a servant from the heart, or are you really a servant because you want people to know and to see that I am a servant? You come early in the morning to help with all the setting up and everything else, and you want people to say, oh, this is a man of God. He's a wonderful servant. Yet in your heart, you were panicking. Even when you were coming in, even when you were packing the chairs, you were pushing them so hard because there was a certain attitude in your heart. You only wanted to serve because you wanted people to recommend or recognize you as a servant. What kind of an attitude do you have? What kind of an attitude do you have? David was a servant. God went out to look for a king. He said, I need a king. Go and get for me somebody that I can ordain in the place of Saul as a king. He sent Samuel, the prophet. He went to look. When he came to Jesse's house, everybody that was there, all the boys and all the elderly people, the brothers of David, they looked good. And when Samuel saw all of them, he said, hey, this one could be a king, this one. And God said, no, not all of them. Who is the right one? He said, there is a boy. His father said, there is a boy that is in the bushes, that is looking after the cattle, is looking after the goats. He is in a position of serving this whole family. The wealth of this family depends on his hands. He has put down his life for this family, to serve this family. And God said, bring him. When he came into the door, Samuel said, this is the man that God has called me to ordain as a king. There's something amazing. After he has been ordained as a king, he went back and continued to serve. He went back and continued to serve. He did not say, now, when can I go and claim my position as a king? I've been ordained as a king, so I need my position. I need to go there as a king. Please, all I want you to understand this morning, God is looking for servants. He's looking for people that are willing to lay down their emotions, their feelings, their attitudes, and everything else, and commit in being the servants of the Lord. And commits in being people that will stand and serve God. What kind of a believer are you? Listen, we have so many fake Christians in South Africa. Maybe you are not part of them. But in South Africa, we have a lot of people that says, I serve God, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. He's my God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yet, it is not in their hearts what they say. They are saying it to please people. When it continues to the verses there on Isaiah chapter 42, it speaks about a number of things. It speaks about a bruised reed. He will not break a bruised reed. Those that have been broken down or have been, the word of God has done something in their lives. Those that have lived a certain kind of life, when you bring forth the word of God, they begin to say, yes, I've done wrong, I've done this. He is saying that he will not break those kinds of people. What kind of a person are you? Are you the kind of people, when people are in problems, you use your advantage to break them down? Or are you the one that says, listen, my brother, let's walk together, shoulder to shoulder. There's still a long way. Be my brother, let me pray for you. Be my sister, let me pray for you. Are you the people that when you see people in their weakest position, you want to blow off the lamp and let them die in wherever they are? Or are you somebody that says, you do not have enough oil today, let's pray for the oil of gladness to come more in your life. Let's pray for the attitude of worship, for the attitude of servanthood to come to your life. What kind of a Christian are you? Are you here to serve people? Have you ever taken time aside and say, listen, I'm just taking this time to pray for so and so. He is going through troubles. It is easy for us to pray for people when you are standing here because we're in front of the people. Do you think about people that you need to pray for when you are at home, when there is nobody else, when the children are screaming, when they want this and that and this and that, they want to go to the soccer, to the karate, to the what, all the things that they want to go to. Do you think about taking a moment and say, I need to pray for somebody. I need to pray for so and so. What kind of a servant are you? Do you have an attitude of a servant? You can do all things. God is not impressed by everything that we do. He's very impressed by the attitude. The only thing that will make you victorious in doing whatever you do, it is the attitude. You can give money to the church, the offerings, your tithes. God is not worried about how much you have given. He's looking at your heart. We know the story of a woman that gave the last cent that he had. God was not worried. He was looking at the heart. Why are you giving what you are giving? Why are you doing what you are doing? May the Lord bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir. Bless you, sir. Bless you.
So in spite of him saying he's not going to give anything special today, this is very special. Thank you, Buyani. As I was sitting there, I'm thinking, he said early in his sermon that we're intelligent. Both Buyani and Polasili speak English, Afrikaans, Sotho, Zulu, Xhosa. And we're intelligent. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you sent your servant, the Lord Jesus, that he might come and do your will, and that is to take the sin of the world on him, to die that we might have life. And Father, I pray that as a result of that, that we should have the same attitude in ourselves, which was in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a bondservant and was made in the likeness of man. And then being found in appearance as a man, he died on our behalf. Not just so that we would go to heaven, but that every knee would bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, Father, may you be glorified in the reception of Christ as Lord and Savior, and may you be glorified when your church works as servants. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.